It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 24-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I love when we do your real estate survival guide. It's my favorite part of the show. So you've got a couple of them for us today. Take us through the first one.
Steve, the first one is, so what happens when you're trying to show a house and the tenant won't cooperating in letting you in the house?
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that experience as an agent?
I'm living through it right now, Steve. It's very challenging. But really, the question that was proposed was, a seller is trying to sell his rental property, and the real estate agents are not having any luck with the tenant cooperating. The tenant is always paid on time and does take decent care of the property, but doesn't even seem to be available anytime there's a prospective buyer that wants to take a look at the house. What are your rights? What can you do? So that was the question that was presented to Gary Singer, who's a local real estate attorney. Here's the answer. The law and most written leases allow landlords access to rental properties for a couple of reasons. One, to make repairs, provided that there's an agreed upon service and that showing the property to lenders, contractors, and prospective tenants. The landlord must give reasonable notice to the tenant to access the property. Now, this is where the problem lies. What is considered reasonable amount of time? The tenants have no skin in the game. They're going to be moving out of the property. They have no reason to cooperate except just to be nice.
They may be resistant.
They are resistant. They don't know, you know, why do they have to do this? Mm-hmm. They're never going to keep the property. And this isn't fair to say. There's no skin in the game, bottom line.
Yeah, I get it.
An owner is going to always bend over backwards to get a prospective tenant or buyer into a property. So it makes it very, very difficult. And there's a lot of games that, you know, are played with the tenants. You call them and they didn't get the message or they can't be available at that time. So really what happens, the landlord needs to have conversations in advance with the tenants about the situation, really when they go ahead and come to terms with a lease.
Maybe they should also offer the house or the place for sale to the tenant.
Yes, absolutely. That's an excellent idea. And some of them can afford to buy it and may even want to do that. So that would probably be the first thing I would do. I would present it to them. Hey, I want to sell my house. Do you have any interest in buying it? Let them have first crack at it. Offer them a better price to do so. The next step in all of this is, you know, you're going to inconvenience the tenant. The tenant really doesn't want this. This isn't his job. But what you might consider doing as a landlord, throw in a little discount for the remaining portion of the terms of the lease, that, you know, whatever percentage you think is fair and reasonable for that tenant to cooperating and having it shown. I've seen that work out quite well. They might not be as reluctant to allow them to get in, but as a landlord, you have to put yourself in their shoes and see what is being asked of them. And that might help it a little bit, but legally, they're supposed to cooperate. It's very gray as to what that cooperation is going to be.
Well, I think that the bottom line there is that the law is on your side. You own the property. If you give reasonable notice and the tenant is absolutely being obstinate, then you, once given reasonable notice, then I guess you have the right to go in and show you the property. It is your property.
You have to be very careful, though. You don't want to just open up the house. There can be accusations of missing and broken items, harassment. All kinds of things can be said, you know, against you. Really, the only time that landlord can access the property is really in a case of an extreme emergency.
Okay.
House is burning down, a real genuine emergency. That's when the landlord has the rights to enter it. Otherwise, they're really at the mercy of the tenant.
All right. Well, we have a second real estate survival guide item today. And by the way, you're listening to Terry Story. Terry is with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton, Florida. And this is our segment every single week called Real Estate Roundup. Ignoring insurance risks can be costly. Tell me about that.
When you buy a home, part of the formula for the total cost is, what is it going to cost you for insurance? And there's some factors that you need to take into consideration. Insurance seems to be the last piece of the puzzle that people shop. They shop interest rates, they shop all these other things, and they listen to what the lender tells them what an approximate insurance cost will be, but that never seems to be quite accurate. So if you're a buyer and you find a property that you like, you might want to make that phone call to an insurance agent. So what are these items that have an impact? Start with location. Where's your location in comparison to the fire station? Are you near a fire hydrant? All of these things can help reduce your cost. Another big one, flood zone. This is probably the biggest of them all. Are you east of I-95? Where are you located in the floodplain? It's an excellent idea for everyone to carry flood insurance, but there's certainly higher risk floodplains that flood insurance require additional policies, and you can find out that those figures can be quite high.
Yeah, and many of our listeners are not in the state of Florida, don't probably even know what I-95 is. The bottom line is if you're in a flood zone, you'll know it. You know it, and that's going to affect your insurance rates.
Right. Anything near water, you're in
a flood zone. Okay. What about the age of the home?
Age of the home, very important. Let's start with the roof. Roof is very important. Once a roof is 20 years, it's considered a high risk.
Uh-huh.
And the roof needs to have at least 3 years of life left to it for an insurance company to even write insurance for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to factor in, you know, what is it going to cost to replace the roof if you don't have that remaining life? They also have to take into consideration what is the roof material made up of. So all of these factors play into what that cost of insurance is going to be.
Yeah, but the bottom line is when you're buying a house, you're taking a look at what your mortgage, your principal and interest is going to cost you. You're taking a look at what taxes are going to cost you, and that's kind of can be tricky as well. And really, the third component is insurance, and you really don't want to be shocked. So do your homework early. So when you're figuring out all the math and all the numbers to make sure that this place is affordable and within your budget, make sure you take a look at what the insurance premium will cost on this particular property.
That's right. I mean, that's really the bottom line. Be aware. You know, does the house have a swimming pool? If it has a swimming pool, it's going to be an additional premium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so call around and get some quotes.
That's right.
All right. Terry Story with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton. This is our Real Estate Roundup segment. And Terry can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.